Anybody doesn't want to listen to me, you're free to go as well.
Thank you. This morning, I have entitled today's message called Guarding Ourselves. And it's, have you ever really thought about that you need to be on guard? I mean, think about your week last week. How many people were pulled more than five different ways? I mean, ways you didn't want to go, ways you were forced to go, things that you were having to deal with, or maybe something that you really wanted to deal with. I mean, guarding ourselves is a very critical thing, especially when it comes to our walk with God, because we have an enemy. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Before we get started, I'd just like to pray, you know, because it's not about me, it's not about what I say. The fact is, I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning. This has been very real for our family this week, so it's a message that, you know, makes sense to me because it's kind of where we're at in life right now. But that's okay. God's got it, and we're excited about that. So let's go ahead and pray. God, we just come to you this morning. Lord, I pray that we just be still and know. Your word says that we are sometimes just to slow down. Lord, forget schedules. Forget what we have to do when we leave this building. Lord, right now we're at your feet. We're hearing your message. And it's not me speaking, Lord. It's you speaking to us, including myself. Lord, I pray that we have an open heart and mind to hear the message that needs to be heard. Lord, that we take action in what we're supposed to do. We take ownership in the things that are ours. And Lord, we let go of the things that you're supposed to take. Lord, help us to guard ourselves here today. Help us to hear what the Word has to say about this thing in life. Be with us. Let us be changed people when we leave here. Not because of a message or a sermon or anything else, but because, Lord, we were in your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I started this morning with a story of a man that walked up to a Marine guard outside of the White House, and he asked to see President Obama. And the Marine quickly said, "Sir, I'm sorry, he does not live here anymore." Same man came back the next day, walks up to the same Marine and says, "Sir, I'd like to see Mr. Obama." "Sir, I'm sorry, he does not live here anymore." He left, come back the third day and said, "Sir, I'd like to see Mr. Obama." He said, "Sir, I told you yesterday, this man does not live anymore, here anymore." He said, "I know, I just like the sound of it." The Marine quickly said, "I'll see you tomorrow, sir." Now, it doesn't matter if you're an Obama fan or not. It's not about political. You were influenced by that story. Either you're like, "Oh, he's a hater," or, "Yeah, amen." But the fact of the matter is, that little joke influenced you in some way. It made you start to think about things, well, he doesn't like this, or he's a Republican, or it doesn't matter. The story, the fact is, we are very easily influenced by many things in life, are we not? You know, if I walk in the house on a Monday night and say, "Woman, what's for dinner?" my night is going to be influenced by my wife. Versus walking in saying, "Hey, how was your day? Anything I can help with? How are the kids doing? Did you have a good day?" See the difference? Same message, two different outcomes. Yet sometimes I think we don't guard ourselves in the fact of our relationship with God is easily influenced. Very easily influenced. And you may not understand it. You may not know it. You may not even be aware of it. So my goal today is I want to look at two things. Your heart and your mind. Because I think those two things are connected. But let me assure you this. Very seldom are they in sync. Because you can think something and not feel it in your heart. Have you ever said, "Hey, how you doing?" and not really meant it? Have you ever asked someone, "Hey, how you doing?" and pray that they don't tell you? I dropped off stuff at Goodwill last night. I said, "Hey, dude, how you doing?" Horrible. Do you want to know why? "Yeah, tell me why." "The sewer's backing up." "Yeah, I can smell it." Proceeded to tell me how and why and the things that he had seen. I didn't sign up for that. I wanted to give my bag. I didn't even run over the hose because I didn't want the bell to ring. I was hoping to slide in and slide out. But I opened my mouth, and then all of a sudden I was in a situation. And I left there thinking, you know, why does that happen to me? Do I have, like, over nice guy on top, which I'm not, but tell me everything? Do I really care? But then the Holy Spirit said, "You know, Ben, sometimes you want to be heard. People don't listen to you." Thanks, God. I needed that kick in the pants. You know, we're so easily influenced. And the only way to combat that influence is to guard ourselves. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be in, I'm going to start in verse 7. While you're doing that, you know, one of the things that, again, we kind of alluded to earlier is we have an enemy. You know, in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says this, "Stay alert, watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that the family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are." How many people have heard that verse before? How many people hear the word roaring lion thinking that we're going to know when he's coming? Have you ever been hunted by a lion? Anyone? I have to believe that if I'm being hunted by a lion, it's not going to be, "Roar, here I come." It's going to be, he's in the bushes, waiting for me not to be paying attention, and then he's going to ambush me. Why would the devil do any different? He wants to attack when you least expect it. He wants to attack when you're not guarded. The word says we are to stand firm, that everyone, the family of believers, everyone that goes to church, everyone that claims to be a Christian, is going through the same kind of suffering. How many people here feel alone? That they think they're the only one with, you don't have to raise your hands, have these kinds of problems, go through these kinds of struggles. You see, the enemy tries to isolate you. He tries to separate you so that he can pounce. Very subtle, very discreet, very nonchalant. Why? Because let's be honest, are we really focused people? You get on your kids about attention span? My teenagers are in the room. They love it when I talk about them. What's the average attention span of your teenagers? Take a stab. I don't know. I'm getting, huh?
10 seconds.
10 seconds. Anybody got longer than 10? Unless they really want it and you haven't caved in yet. A little more forceful. Now, how long is your attention span on your Heavenly Father as a child of God? 10 seconds? Unless you need something that he hasn't caved into? Now I'm making it personal, right? You want me just to stop? You see, we have to understand that we are not all that different. We are all actually very, very similar. So that's why this message is important for everyone that hears, including myself. So Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." That's an amen moment right there. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your" what?
Heart
and what?
Minds.
And your minds in who?
Christ Jesus.
Sounds simple, doesn't it? We have to make a choice. Have you ever told your kids, you just need to make a decision and live with it? Have you ever told a coworker, you just need to get on with it and make a decision? Sometimes God looks at us and says, look, make a decision. Either believe me or don't, but quit being lukewarm. Quit being middle of the road. Well, God, if you would just do this. Oh, God, if you would just answer that. Or, God, why did you let this happen? You let your guard down. It says rejoice. How many times a day do you rejoice? Honestly, how many people rejoice 10 times a day? I got two. How many people here 5 times a day? How many people struggle to find anything to rejoice about? You've let your guard down. You've allowed the enemy to tell you that there is nothing good in this world, that God doesn't love you. In fact, that the reason why things are the way they are is because he's not paying attention. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, all situations, all circumstances. It's hard to say that cancer is a blessing, isn't it? I can tell you that in the ministry, even now, God uses cancer to heal people. And I'm not talking physical. I'm talking spiritual. Does it look like it's not fair that someone's dying of cancer? Yes, it isn't fair. I understand. I value life. But if I truly trust that God is good and he says that I want no one to perish, then cancer isn't going to beat him. Divorce is not going to beat him. Heroin is not going to beat him. Taxes, government, you pick whatever you're struggling with, keeping you from rejoicing, you have to make a choice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. This is one I'm not good at. I'm fairly calm. But there's three people over there. They tell you if I get worked up, I can become an idiot. Amen? Fine. She's like, let me come up here for a minute. Gentleness is a tough thing. Why? Because if you're passionate about it, if you believe in it, if you are dead set that you are right, gentleness does not always come to the top. Amen? How many stubborn donkeys are in here with me? Anyone here ever been wrong? No point in other people. This is a self... Yeah, you're buying lunch, by the way. I'm just saying. Gentleness evident to everyone. It's hard to be godly and not be gentle. The Bible says if a brother's in sin, you are to restore him how? Gently. Through gentleness. Through love. Do you want somebody coming up to you saying, dude, you're an idiot, you're going to go to hell? Or do you want someone up to come saying, hey, Ben, you know, look, I've observed some things. Dude, you know I care about you. What are you thinking? See the two difference? Let our gentleness be evident to everyone. Do not be anxious about everything. I could talk about this the rest of the day. Do you understand that you can't worry and pray at the same time? It is impossible to worry and pray. It's impossible. How many people here worry? How many people here pray? How many people ever try to do it together? Oh, dear God, I don't think you can hear this. Oh, God, this is what I need, even though I don't think you're strong enough. Now you sound schizophrenic. We are to go with him, to him, about everything, not worrying that he's not going to hear us. Anyone ever felt like, besides me, that God's put you on hold? You call and you got, please hold, press 1 for English. Then you're just praying, God, please be in English today. I don't need some guy who doesn't speak English. We laugh. But we go to him, and as soon as he does not answer in our time, in our fashion, or in our manner, we instantly start to worry, don't we? Oh, crud, here we go. Bible says to trust. I trust, but I'm just not going to like it. In prayer, in petition. What do you do when you sign a petition? You ever think about that? In prayer and in petition. If you petition God, if you petition something in this world, what are you doing? How many people do you normally need to get a petition through? Anybody know? I ran for school board. I needed 50 signatures. 50 people to sign my petition saying, yeah, Ben's not an idiot. We think it'd be good. Whatever, whatever. You ever sign a petition? Have you ever prayed like that? Let me get 50 people together, and we're going to pray to God that this thing gets resolved now. Well, why would I do that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you want it to go away. Maybe you're tired of dealing with it. Maybe you're going with him with not being anxious, but rejoicing, saying, I got 50 other people, and the Bible says that two or three are agreed, it's going to be given. Again, that's a double-edged sword. The fact that you're willing to go to him with thanksgiving and presenting it to him is the fact that you're guarding your heart. Why? Because if you truly trust him, then does the outcome really matter? You know, one of the things we talk a lot about when we counsel people, even to this day, is we ask the question, do you know your partner's heart? And when you start to think about that question a little bit, when people aren't getting along, when things are, you know, they're fighting, they're wanting a divorce, or whatever it is, as soon as you ask the question, am I wrong? 99% of the time, people take a look and go, yeah, but they're being a jerk. But do you know their heart? Do you think they would intentionally try to hurt you? Well, no, but they did this and they did that. And it's coming back to the question, do you truly know their heart? And when you take a step back, the next time you're in an argument with the one you love or a coworker or your best friend or your kids, stop and ask yourself the question, do I really know their heart? Or am I just getting worked over something that it's not an impasse, it's just something we have to resolve? But that makes us take ownership. And the same thing is true of God. If we are guarding our heart, then we gain this famous word. It's five letters, starts with a P, ends with an E, has an ace in the middle. Anybody have an idea what it is? Peace. How many people here like peace? You know why you like vacation? You're at peace. The biggest decision, shirt, no shirt, shoes, no shirt, and where are we eating? Praise the Lord for that. Why does life here have to be any different? Does God's peace only work in Florida? I think it's stronger. I'm just saying. I think it rolls in with the waves. That's just my interpretation. I think we should run a month experiment and go down and see. What do you think? See the elders after church. I'm not a part of that anyway. You're supposed to guard your heart. That means knowing the heart of God. When you look at other people, looking at their heart, people need to look at your heart. If your heart could spit out on a piece of paper the last 10 things that went through it, would you be afraid to let someone read it? Well, I would ask that question. The Bible says that the mouth is the overflow of your heart. Sometimes my heart's got some ugly, ugly things in it because I'm not guarding it. I'm not protecting it. I'm allowing it to be easily influenced. I'm allowing it to be more like the world than more like my Savior. Other half of the equation, guarding your mind. They didn't tell you, but I'm giving you a true-false question test today. You guys ready? You like tests, right? So I want you to mentally keep track. We're only doing 10, so it's not like you have to study. You can work together. I'm down with that. It's either true or false. So you got a 50-50 shot, all right? True or false? Apples, not caffeine, are more efficient in waking you up in the morning. Okay, true or false? How many trues? How many falses? Alfred Hitchcock did not have a belly button. True or false? Truth? False. Okay. Only 7% of the people are left-handed. True? False. All right. 40 people were sent to the hospital for dog bites every minute in America. True? False. Babies are born without kneecaps. They do not appear until they're 2 to 6 years old. True? False. They got to be. I've bet my kids so many different ways, but anyway, we won't get into that. This is another big one here. The toothbrush was invented in 1498. True? False. All right. 40,000 people are injured by toilets every year. True? False. Your feet are bigger in the afternoon than any other time of the day. True? False. The first Harley-Davidson used a tomato can for a carburetor. True? False. If there were not coloring added to Coke, it would be green. True? False. All those are true. Every single one of them are true. But you were influenced by what you thought you knew, right? There's no way. Come on, dude. 40,000 people get injured by toilets? Come on. You know, Matt asked a very intriguing question during devotions. Do you get excited? You know why the church doesn't get excited? You want to know the honest answer to that question? They're afraid what the person beside them is going to think. They know that if they act crazy, people are going to say they're crazy and they're a Jesus freak and they don't want to be labeled as that. If people truly worship the way that they would in the car by themselves, we would get down in here, amen? I make the joke, I can't sing. You would not know that if you rode with me. If I didn't know you were there. I sing like a wild man. Thank God it's by myself. You see, we don't get excited. We don't do things for the kingdom because we are afraid. Our mind tells us we should not live or act like that. Because what if somebody says something? What if someone makes a comment? You don't think people are already talking about you? Let's just be honest. Do you talk about people? The Bible says not to gossip or something. Well, I'm not gossiping. I'm really trying to help. For real? You go on and keep telling yourself that, all right? That's great. Guard your heart, number one. Number two, guard your mind. Flip back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to make you work a little bit here. Not real hard. It's only a couple books back. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 23. says this: everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Huh. What does that mean? That we can do whatever we want? It's called free will. God gives you the choice on what you want to do. God says, you know what, Ben? You want to get up today and go rob a bank? Knock yourself out. You want to get up and be a lousy husband today? That's on you. You want to go to work and maybe cut the system and check out early and do whatever, go shopping? That's on you. I think he read, in everything you do, word or deed, do it as if it were for God. Now, hold on, that doesn't apply. My boss is a jerk. My company cheats me. They don't give me the raise when I mean, see how that works? I'm not guarding the mind. Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You guys didn't know you're going to have to work today, did you? Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but not I will not be mastered by anything. Huh. You ever let something master you? Anybody being honest? Don't tell me what it is. Some of you are saying, dude, for real? I'm going to throw out a word. Worry. Fear. Money. Sex. Drugs. Acceptance socially. Ever mastered by any of those things? And again, I don't need hands. That's between you and God. But if we are not guarding our minds, if we are not really looking about what's getting influenced into our kids, I mean, how many people here, and this is, I'm going to let you in the Pletcher household. For a long time, we were very adamant about no shoot 'em, kill 'em, whatever games, right, boys? I mean, we would never let you have them. And the argument was always, yeah, but so everybody else does. We've given in. We have the call of duties. We've given in. And some of you are saying, it's not that bad. Let your kids listen to any kind of music they want to and blare it in your neighborhood. It's not that bad. Oh, now you're being an extremist. No, I'm not guarding their minds. You see, people, the argument for kids today, when we were doing youth group, the one thing they would say is, it doesn't affect me. Do you listen to music to pump you up? Yeah. It doesn't affect you. Well, that's different. We're not guarding our minds. And now you think, oh yeah, these teenagers, man, they're bad. What do you watch every week? Do you watch that TV, things you shouldn't? Do you say the joke that you shouldn't? Do you get caught up in the crap that you shouldn't? You're not guarding your mind either. I don't always guard my mind. It is so easy to just let down. We never say, oh, I'll just ask for forgiveness. We just look at it and go, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I mean, look at how they live. So-and-so is not going to be with you when you stand in front of God and he's going to say, Ben Pletcher, let me roll out the scroll here, dude. This is how you were living. Yeah, but everything was permissible. Was it constructive? Was it beneficial? Did you guard or protect your mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Be careful, however, that you exercise your freedom that it does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Part of us guarding our mind is the influence and the impact that it has around us. Have you ever seen somebody who their kids say a little cuss word and it's not our kid and we think it's cute? And we think, oh, that's kind of funny. They shouldn't talk like that, but they must have heard it at home. Now, what if it was your kids? I mean, we talked about it a little bit ago. If someone else's kids are running around, it's cute. If it's ours, they're going to get their butts beat. Amen? Because our kids don't act like that. Do not allow your freedom to become a stumbling block for someone else. Everything that we do, we need to seek for the greater good, right? That's somebody else's job. When you hire a pastor, that's going to be his job, right? To love everybody, to feed you, to take care of the flock, to go out and visit, and to make sure that everything's the way that it should be, right? That's all him. Because that's why you pay him, right? When I was here, that was your job to pay me. My job was to do all those things. Is it just his job or my job? Is it our job? The Bible says, go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nowhere does it say in the subnotes, preachers only. We've got to guard our hearts. We've got to guard our minds. So how do we do that? Flip back to Philippians chapter 4. This is one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, these two passages are connected. So I'm going to read the first part again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if it is excellent or praiseworthy, what about these things? What does it say? Think about these things. It's a mindset. It's a choice. Everything is permissible. Everything is not beneficial. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Does that describe our thought life? Because I can tell you this, one thing I've learned with my enemy, the Satan that I fight every day, is if I start thinking it, it won't be long. I'm either going to be doing it or I'm going to be blaming someone else for it. Because this leads to this and this leads to this. Again, they're all connected, but very seldom are they in sync. In verse 9, it says this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, not from Ben, not from Paul, from the Holy Spirit. What does it say?
Put it into practice.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm supposed to go to church and learn and then go out there and live it? Isn't that what you expect everyone else to do? Turn the other cheek, brother. You know, don't judge me. Look at the plank in your eye. See, I know all the verses. I can use them. Throw out the sin. Throw the first stone. Man, I got them all. But I'm supposed to put into practice what I've learned. That's not Sunday morning 9 to 11, kids. That's every day you're in your Word. Every day you're sharpening one another. Every day you're praying with petition, with thanksgiving. Every day you're rejoicing. But you know what? Now you have to rejoice. Why? Because you learned it today, right? And it's not Ben, it's God. So if you want to say, on you, God, that's on you. Because someday you're going to stand before me and say, why'd you do that? Well, I didn't believe Ben. He's a salesman. He wasn't our pastor. He's just some dude that came. Good news is it's not on me. This is me and God, we got to work this out. You on God, you got to work that out. So when you put it into practice, notice what it happens. A period, a brand new thought, a capital A, and the God of peace will be with you. We all want that peace, don't we? We all long for the stress-free, beautiful, great days, amen? What are you doing to obtain that? Instantly, in your mind, you're not saying it, but you can think, yeah, but you don't understand, this is going on, I have to deal with this person, this person's my spouse, this person's my boss, this person's my family, this person's my neighbor, this person's my kid. You know what? Let them be them and you be you. Because the Word says if you've heard it and you receive it, anybody here not receive what I'm saying? You got to put it in practice. You want to get excited about being and knowing who God is? You got to put it into practice. One of the greatest things that I thought was cool, and I'm probably going to embarrass her, but see Lindsey Wiseman up here playing the guitar. Did you just put a USB in your ear and computer and download how to play, or did you have to practice? She's good. Piece of cake. I picked it up, say, this is what I do. Not many of us are like Lindsey Wiseman, okay? We have to practice. I'm picking on her. But if I want to be a good husband, I need to put things into practice. I want to be a good dad, I need to put things into practice. If I want to be an obedient servant when it comes to the kingdom of God, then I put it into practice. It starts with guarding my heart and guarding my mind. Why? Because there's an enemy and he wants to influence you. You know, I wanted to sit and talk about so many things here today. To try to get you riled up about different things. You know, the more I prayed about it, and, you know, Matt was talking about being excited, I thought, you know, Ben, don't be an idiot. See, See, I kind of like to be like that. I kind of like to be that wham, and then I get to leave and come back in 3 or 4 weeks, and you guys hopefully forgot it by then. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But this morning when I was praying and reading and trying to figure out, I mean, how do we tie this all together? How do we not just make this one more message, one more Sunday? You know, yeah, that sounds cool. I'll guard my heart and I'll guard my mind. It'll last about till I get to State Route 61. Let's just be honest. Because as soon as the phone rings or I get a Facebook post or a text, everything I've learned here is flushed. Am I the only one that's that way? I mean, have you ever read something and go, wow, I never knew the Bible said that? Oh, yeah, I did. Never mind. So I came across this passage in 2 Corinthians, and I just want you to listen. I don't want you to turn there. Unless if you want it, 2 Corinthians, just write it down. You can read it later. Chapter 13, and I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 9. But not only am I going to read the NIV, I want to read the Message. And the Message is a paraphrase. And one of the reasons why I like the Message is because sometimes it dumbs it down for me. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. You know, Matt says I know what I'm doing. I don't. I trust the guy that does. So I'm going to read this passage, and it really kind of put it in perspective for me. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you'll discover that you've not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may not see you or know that you have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak because you are strong, and our prayer is for your protection, your perfection. Now I want to read the Message. It says, test yourselves to make sure that you're solid in your faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we failed, but that if it comes to that we've shown that our test that we failed, our failure is not yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do it any other way or otherwise. We don't just put up with our limitations. We celebrate them. We go over to celebrate every strength, every triumph, and the truth that is in you. We pray hard that it will all come together in all of your lives. You know, for me, the best way to examine my heart and my mind and make sure that it is guarded is to check it frequently. How many people double lock the door when you stay in hotels? Chain, deadbolt. Why don't you do that at home? Well, you don't know who's going to come down the door. Let me share something with you. The person that's going to kick in your door is not going to rent the room beside you. Just throwing that out. Probably not going to happen. Yet we think that extra double protection is going to save us. Amen? I mean, am I the only one that double checks? Get up in the middle of the night, make sure that no one, somehow the chain came off? Come on now. But we do it because it makes us feel safe. I thought I was in trouble. Julie's waving.
No.
We all do it, right? Because that little chain that wouldn't hold a chihuahua to a tree is going to protect me from a bat. I mean, honestly. But it makes us feel better. Why? Because we've double-checked, double-locked, and by golly, this door will hold if the SWAT team comes. Do you do that in your spiritual life? Do you double-check? Heart guarded, mind guarded, download received, putting it into practice, giving God thanks for everything, rejoicing on a daily basis. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? When it becomes part of who you are, it's not hard. You want to know how I know that's true? I want you to write down someday, take 20 minutes and write down everything you do in a day. Seriously. Make the coffee, walk the dog, whatever you do. Just write down every single thing that you do, not only for yourself, but someone else. And look at that list. And you've conditioned yourself to do all those things. You don't even think about it. How many scoops of coffee does it take to make 12? Anybody know? For me, it's 7, and we grind it on 4. It's weak, because we're wimps. Well, Tammy says I'm wimp. She likes it stronger. But you know what I'm saying? We have all these things. I didn't just learn that. It took me every day practicing it. So that list that was given to us in Philippians 4, the things we think about, the things we put into practice, the peace that passes all understanding, it takes time. Do you have anything else to do besides get closer to God? Oh, yeah. Is any one of them any more important than your salvation? But you don't know. If you hear a but, I'm going to tell you there's an issue. So how about you're right? Let's work on it. But you know what? The good news is you're not alone, because the Word says that we all struggle. We all suffer. We all go through the same things. So that means you have people that can help you. But then it goes back to that, well, if I show them that I have a problem, what are they going to think about me? See how your mind's not guarded? Anybody here going to hear somebody's secret and put it on Facebook? You're not going to raise your hand if you do it. How many people here have heard someone say, man, this is when I finally get the courage to share it with you, you go, I thought I was the only one. See, the church doesn't want to get intimate like that. Church doesn't want each other to know that they're not perfect. No one in this building is perfect. Someone told me a long time ago, you find the perfect church, do not join it, because you will ruin it. But there is no such thing as a perfect church. I'm tired. Why? Because people are involved. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't go, we shouldn't try. It just means we all need to strive and work harder together. Starts with guarding your heart, guarding your mind. So what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes. I want to do a couple things. I didn't ask for permission. I'm sorry, but you can kick me out and just ask me not to come back. That's fine. First of all, I want to bring the elders down and pray for them, because I know what it's like to be shepherds and get tired. And if your wives are in here, I'd like to bring them down and pray for them too. Why? Because they have a task that's not easy. It's leading a flock of people. And I'm going to encourage you, if you want to come down and pray around them, because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're not praying for each other, you're not guarding your heart, you're not guarding your mind. Second thing I want to do is I want you to examine your heart. Because bitterness can take root very, very easily. Anger, jealousy, all the crazy stuff that Satan's going to use to get you off track. Can we get Brett and Justin here? Are they
there to get them?
The guitar specialist. So if you want to come, I want to pray for these guys, because I know the battle that they fight. You know, it's important that you pray for your leaders. Why? Because you expect them to be there when you have problems. You need to pray for them every single day. The second thing I want to do is I want you to examine where you're at. And if there is something that you need to fix, either share it with an elder, write it in a letter, give it to someone so that you can pray about it. Because you want it fixed, right? But if you're not willing to do anything about it, then you really don't want to fix. You're just talking. So I want to challenge you. I'm going to pray for these guys first. As soon as Britt and Jessica get in, then I'm going to pray for you. And if you need to do something today, this is not about someone responding to my message. It's the fact that the church needs to be the church. And if it's not being the church, then why are we being any different than the world? So, got a Bible down here. Look at this altar card. Isn't God good? I'm just playing. We'll wait for Jess and Britt. They're like, I can't do this. No pressure, Lens. Everybody's looking at you. They coming?
Yeah, they're giving chocolate.
Giving chocolate.
Seeing an elder, that covers it all right there. Welcome to church, Jess. Is your wife coming? Bring the kids, it's alright. Or let them tear up the back, we don't care.
This is the part where you sing.
Oh, no.
Me and you, it's a duet.
Everything is permissible, not everything is constructive. Non-constructive. Non-beneficial. evaluate and examine. Think about your week. Think about the things that you've gone through, the things that you said that you wish you wouldn't have, maybe the things that you should have and you didn't. It's not about condemnation. It's about repentance. It's about conviction and just being forgiven. And that's how our God works. A lot of pressure in the whole room staring at you, I'm just saying.
He's excited.
He is, praise God. He got chocolate, I'd be excited too. I'm going to shut this off. I don't know how you do that. Power?
Sure.